Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast.
The president gave a really weird, he gave some remarks yesterday and they were weird. He was talking about supply chain issues and he said, quote, "Now, I can't promise that every person will get every gift they want on time. Only Santa Claus can keep that promise," Biden said. And then he compared it to the Cabbage Patch, the great Cabbage Patch Kid rush of the 80s and the Beanie Babies thing of the 90s. He actually, listen to this, audio somebody at six.
"I can't promise that every person will get every gift they want on time. Only Santa Claus can keep that promise."
Really? Oh, boy. He goes, "Some of you moms and dads may remember Cabbage Patch Kids in the 80s or Beanie Babies in the 90s. So by the time Beanie Babies came of age, I was becoming a preteen, so I wasn't like into it. I was never into Beanie Babies and I thought they were kind of weird. But I had little cousins who were, and then later I think it became like only a thing of hoarders. I don't know. Who has Beanie Baby? Are they still a thing? I cannot believe that they are so popular. Mainly my rage comes from not having invented them myself. Just like the buttons that you stick in Crocs. You know that lady's a frillionaire?
Yeah.
I am so mad that I didn't think of sticking a button in a Croc.
I found his Cabbage Patch audio if you want.
Please, for the love, I need this in my life.
"But there are items every year that sell out that are hard to find. Some of you moms and dads may remember Cabbage Patch Kids back in the 80s or Beanie Babies in the 90s or other toys that have run out at Christmas time in past years when there was no supply chain problem."
Okay, how many of y'all remember Cabbage Patch Kids, right? I had a Cabbage Patch Kid.
I remember Garbage Pail Kids, too.
Dude, Garbage Pail Kids were the best. That's still my favorite. Garbage Pail Kids, that, when you would get a Garbage Pail Kid card, phew. When I was young, I had a Cabbage Patch Kid. And the first actual Cabbage Patch Kid I got, I had to wait a couple of years after the craze because we couldn't afford it. And my grandma made me one. And the Cabbage Patch Kid that my grandma made was like way bigger than all the other Cabbage Patch Kids. She was like three times the size. She was like a mini me. And it was really, really hard to play with my friends with their Cabbage Patch Kids because my homemade Cabbage Patch Kid could eat theirs. She was so big, right? It's like how I got, okay, I'm going to just sidebar real quick. Only Gen X women are going to understand where I'm coming from here. Ladies, do you remember Jem and the Rockers? And do you remember when they came out with Jem and the Rockers posable doll, right? And she came with a little guitar and you were like, this is awesome. She can also maybe hang out with Barbie. No, she can't because Jem was like five times the size of Barbie. She was like a giant. She was like three times bigger. Goliath times three to David, right? Jem couldn't hang out. Jem couldn't even fit in my friend's Barbie Malibu mansion. Couldn't even get through the door. So that, like, why wouldn't you think of maybe having that toy integration? So stupid. Anyway, there you go. So the Cabbage Patch Kid thing, can we all also agree that those were the ugliest DM dolls that have ever been made? They were ugly. They really were. And they had really, my Cabbage Patch Kid's name, y'all, was Maynard. Maynard the Cabbage Patch Kid. No offense to people named Maynard, but the only person that I knew at the time whose name was Maynard was this dude, my patriarchal grandparents. They ran a tavern way, way down in Wayne County, Missouri. And the only person who's I ever knew who was a Maynard was a guy who didn't have all of his teeth. And he was an old seasoned grizzled dude. No one ever said anything about the teeth thing because he'd probably lost them by smashing his head into other people's heads. And he would sit there at the bar and he would bring in mashed potatoes. Yes, because I also partially in the summers grew up in a tavern in the Ozarks. It's, you know, I wouldn't change a thing. But he would bring his mashed potatoes. He would bring mashed potatoes from home and drink beer and sit at the bar and eat that. And his name was Maynard. That's all I remember. And so my Cabbage Patch Kid was named Maynard. I'm like, oh my gosh. And so that's how I had that correlation. Anyway. And then you all remember the Tickle Me Elmos? Remember that doll?
Oh, yeah.
That doll was weird, wasn't it? That was kind of a weird thing. Yeah. It really was. I don't know what like the big toy is right now. All of my friends that have girls had the bubble packages things, the pouches that have bubbles on them. I don't know what it is. All you moms and girls are like, oh my gosh, yes, we know. But I will say this. We went from the whole Make America Great Again, everything is plentiful, to, well, you're not going to get your Christmas presents on time. The only Santa Claus can do that. No one would ever think that Joe Biden is Santa Claus. No one would ever think that. I don't think they'd make that mistake. This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms, pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
Mm-hmm. All right, so, a few things here. This is funny. I love this. And I love the storm's name. The Independent says, Storm Arwen has trapped customers in Yorkshire Dale's Ten Hill Inn for the third night. It's a pub. They're stuck in the pub. Everyone's in good spirits, says the manager of the inn. They said it's staff at a pub that were cut off by snow. They were preparing karaoke for Sunday evening because guests have been unable to escape for days. More than 60 people have spent several nights camped out at Britain's highest pub due to heavy snowfall brought on by Storm Arwen. Customers first became stranded at the Ten Hill Inn in Yorkshire Dales on Friday night after going to watch an Oasis tribute band and did not have Beta O'Rourke in it. This gets better. The Oasis tribute band was called Noasis. Those staying at the inn, which is 1,732 feet above sea level, woke up to around 3 feet of snow. They had fallen power lines, snow blocking the main routes. They've been unable to leave, so they've just stayed there and drank. It's amazing. I mean, they got pictures. They're all sleeping in the inn. There's tons of snow outside. Is that a vacation or you're snowed in? I'm curious. It sounds pretty amazing. Can I also be like stranded there at the Ten Hill Inn in Yorkshire Dales? Josephine Baker, Missouri-born dancer, activist, French resistant member, becomes the first Black woman and only sixth woman ever to be granted a tomb in the Pantheon in Paris. The iconic U.S.-born entertainer was granted a tomb in the Pantheon. French Air Force members carried her decorated coffin through the Paris streets and into the monument just this week, Tuesday, joining 80 other highly regarded French figures. 2,000 guests were at the ceremony, including her 9 children. There was an orchestra and a children's choir. She became a French citizen in 1937. She was a French resistance member during World War II, and she spied on Nazis during her performances and was just an absolute, goat. Awesome. Coffee. Oh, I don't like this. Those prices are set to explode to 10-year highs that could last for years. Let's go, Biden. $2.34 per pound by the end of Monday's trading day. $2.34 per pound. That's crazy. Stay with us. I'm going to riot. I wanted to share with you a couple of things. I got the Salvation Wokery thing. They ended their Let's Talk About Racism, which sounds like a really badly rejected Salt and Pepper song. Doesn't it? Only some of you are going to get that. Gen X are going to, I think, get that. So I like the Salvation Army, and I definitely don't think that this is indicative of everybody in the Salvation Army. I know that this was definitely a top-down thing. And love the Salvation Army. I love what they do. These are people who really believe in the cause. And when I lived in St. Louis, my hometown, and I homeschooled my kids, they work with homeschoolers. Like they let homeschooling groups just use their facilities for science labs and gym classes and all kinds of stuff. I mean, I don't know where our homeschool co-op would have been without the Salvation Army. And they were all, everybody that I ever knew that worked with Salvation Army, every single day these people were out serving. Oh, just an amazing group of people. And that's why I had spoken to some folks about this previously. This, they had this, because CRT is everywhere. It's in churches, it's everywhere. And the Salvation Army, they had a guide that was called, that called on white people to lament, repent, and apologize for racism. And it was the Let's Talk About Racism guide, which, by the way, that does not sound as friendly, I think, as the people who created that kind of phrase to talk about things thought it was going to sound, right? They denied that they were denying claims that they viewed that they had abandoned their faith or that they had were embracing CRT. But there are receipts, unfortunately. They had an online guide that said, let's talk about racism. And it's still, because the internet never forgets, it still lives in some form on the internet. And they said that they had this thing where they were listing, like, for instance, you have to stop denying the existence of individual and systemic institutional racism. Okay, that's a CRT belief. CRT is all about this systemic institutionalized racism. And that's CRT. They said defensiveness about race, because that's also an argument of CRT. They wrote in this defensiveness about race, we have to stop taking discussions about racism as a personal attack. Well, because it is a personal attack when it's in the context of CRT, because CRT accuses everyone, regardless, everyone who is not a Black American of racism. If you are white, if you are Hispanic, you are racist. If you are Asian, you are racist. That's how it is argued. That is CRT. And it is presented in a way where it accuses people and assumes the truth of the accusation. It begs the question of racism in order to substantiate the demand to rebuild the country. And so it is an accusation. And that's an Ibram X. Kendi thing where they say if you are defensive about it, that just means that you are. That's the defense of that. If you're defensive about it, you're defensive. Your defensiveness is proportional to how racist you are. You see how they do that? It's an abusive mind job to try to get you to not fight about it and just accept it. It's abusive. And they finally took it off. They took it off their website, thankfully. They deleted it because of the backlash. Now, they have not responded to requests, apparently, but they did delete the guide from their website. And they said that, too, as well. They said that they had never, in a November 25th statement, they never intended to abandon or make it look like they abandoned political or biblical beliefs. But CRT is an abandonment of biblical beliefs because it demands that any kind of reconciliation be made in government and not at the cross. So this, I'm glad that they removed it, though. Very glad.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Honestly, I think Motley Crue had like the best intros to songs. I really do. Oh my gosh, they're always so good. Kane and I are like reliving our childhood through 80s toys right now. And I just found a Polly Pocket, the exact one that I had. It was amazing. All right. this woman's mugshot, she's so happy. I don't know why. She was arrested on Thanksgiving because she shot her front door and then left her baby home alone. What in the world? Florida woman was charged after she shot into the front door of her home, then went to the bar and left her baby in the crib at home. The call came from a concerned woman who had gone to check on 37-year-old Victoria Hidalgo, saw a bullet lodged in the front door, said she called her and that Hidalgo sounded like she was under the influence of liquor. And the woman, Hidalgo told the woman that she had fired a gun inside the home. And that's what called her to, that's what provoked her to come and check on her. She said that the woman located the bullet in the door. She apparently called police. She granted deputies access to the residence. That's when they found the baby in the crib. And then while they were there, apparently investigating, then they learned that there had been a vehicle stopped by other deputies near the an intersection not far away. And the woman, Victoria Hidalgo, was in the front passenger seat with another male. She had bloodshot, watery eyes, smelled like liquor, slurred speech. The child apparently was left in the care of a family member. So thank heavens. But good grief.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.